It's time for Cofield and Company.
Thompson finds an opening. Three-pointer's up. It's good. Curry gets a look. Fires away. Ties the game. Thompson, one fake, one dribble, one shot. Got it. Golden State retakes the lead. Van Fleet kicks it out. Lowry. Lowry for the win. Won't go. And there'll be a game six in Oakland.
Prayers out to KD. He gave us what he could. He sacrificed his body for us. And I just feel bad for him. So I got a lot of emotions right now.
Now, here's Steve Cofield.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Today, Tuesday?
Sure.
Yes. I'm just so confused. I'm confused by what happened last night. Craziest game we've seen in the NBA. So many storylines, so many narratives coming out of Game 5. We'll get to that in 5 minutes. Jared is in for Chrissy. Adam Hill is here. It's Steve Cofield. Loaded show with guests. Let's get to it.
It's time for The Three, presented by Cofield and Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
All NBA Finals coming out of the gates here. I know there's a bunch of breaking news today, but this is the most important thing going on. First of all, we will hit at length the reaction by the Raptors fans when Kevin Durant went down. But what we don't need, folks, because I saw a lot of anger last night. Yes, there was a lot of cheering for about 5-7 seconds until people realized, oh, maybe Kevin Durant is down and out for the count. What we don't need are Americans tweeting at Canadians, claiming they're all trash, like this one, a Jake Schmidt. You trash, you scumbag piece of blank. America doesn't want blanking Canadians to win our trophy. That was actually directed at a Bruce Arthur who writes in Canada, who wisely tweeted back, well, we'll loop in Chris Boucher, because beyond that, many of the players on the Raptors are Americans.
Right. I've seen some Canadians actually talking trash about Canada knows how to win. Canada is, you know, showing how good they are at basketball. Like, what? They're all Americans. Like, what are you talking about?
There's a lot of international players. Obviously, fine. There's a Congo, Cameroon, Spain.
Last time I checked, the Inland Empire was very much in America, where Kawhi Leonard is from. It's not.
That damn Canadian Kawhi!
It's nowhere near the border. That's an American. So Fred VanVleet is Wichita? I mean, he went to Wichita State. I don't know where he's from.
I think he's Indiana.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty American.
Kyle Lowry went to Villanova.
Yeah. I think they're mostly Americans. Canada is not showing us how to play basketball. But I will admit, I have been trolling a Canadian journalist friend of mine for sure during this whole thing.
Okay.
I mean, last night,
Blame Canada.
I don't know if you saw the Warriors fan walking down the street just get sucker punched and knocked down and then quickly try to scramble to his feet and walk away, and then another fan just comes and punches him down again. It's hilarious, but I just retweeted it with the hashtag #WeTheNorth. He did not like that.
No?
He's like, it's three people. You're going to judge our whole nation? Yeah. During this tournament? Yeah, sure. Fine.
Plus, wouldn't Canada just replicate the old PSA commercial, the weed commercial? Remember the kid yelling at his dad?
Oh, we learned it from watching you?
Yeah. Where dad's like, where'd you get this weed? Where'd you learn to use weed? I learned it from you, Dad!
I learned it from watching you. And
where do Canadians get off acting like animals? The great thing about this is most of this nation has raked Kevin Durant over the coals. Now we're outraged at Canada? Like, no, that's what we do. He's our guy that we blast. How dare you cheer when he's down? So weird.
It's weird. It's weird that, like, Kevin Durant had to risk his future and like, perhaps his career for anyone to side with him or give him any kind of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his whole career has been fighting off. He's soft. He's sensitive. He's always on Twitter. He's got fake accounts. Like, nobody likes him.
We will break down the game itself in probably about 10 minutes.
The what?
The game itself.
Who cares?
It was a great game.
It was awesome.
It was a great game. And I go back to one of our listeners, and he's a fellow radio host. He's on the East Coast. Mid-Major Matt actually put out a poll question yesterday, and I had slugged it yesterday. I'm like, what's wrong with people? The question was, do you want more NBA or just to get to this potentially epic offseason? Like, I want more NBA.
Of course.
Now, after last night, of course I want more NBA. The game from beginning to end was drama-filled. It was freaking awesome. But obviously, aside from the series still being around, the big story was Durant. And Durant going down in the second period. He tries to make a move on Serge Ibaka, that dirty dirtball. He did that intentionally. Now, he didn't do anything intentionally. He stepped in front of him. He played pretty good defense. And my guess is that at some point, any sort of odd move, Dr. Cofield was going to result in that injury for Kevin Durant. And you were nice enough to send out like a ISO shot of his right leg. I mean, do we need to see his calf and Achilles just bursting in his leg?
No.
Just like an earthquake hit. Just like, no. I can't even make a shaking noise. God, it was gross.
We didn't need to see it, but I watched it, so I felt everybody else had to watch it. I had to endure it, so you're going to endure it. That's how I felt. It was awful.
Did you think for a second, I'm not going to share this with the masses?
No.
Because I actually did. I loaded it up, and then I'm like, yeah, I don't need to show this to people. His quivering leg as the Achilles just snaps and rolls up.
It was really gross.
God, it sucked.
Yeah, it was horrifying. But yeah, I watched it, so you have to watch it. That's my take on social media.
Did you have weird emotions when it happened and then at the end of the game? That might be a bad question for you, because I get that you pick your teams. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you will pick your teams based on where everyone seems to be going.
That's
so
true.
So you have absolutely chosen the Warriors to back here, and it's been our argument for the last 10 days. Excuses versus reasons. And you've laid down the gauntlet like many others. Hey, if the Raptors win, not who cares, but come on. They beat up an injured Warriors team. So for you, did emotions change at all? You're already backing the Warriors, so were you heartbroken? Or does that actually add to your argument?
You know, it's a very weird thing, and I heard people fight back on it, but I do get very emotional from injuries. Like, I do feel like when guys get hurt, and especially it's a very serious injury, it really gets to me. And it shouldn't, like, Kevin Durant is going to make $30 to $40 million next year for doing nothing. Okay, but I still feel bad for him. I was like, crushed. It sucked. It's just one of those, you watch, you're like, God, the guy tried his best, and then he gets hurt. It sucks. Not now on Twitter.
Were you really crushed?
Oh yeah. Now on Twitter, I wouldn't.
Wow.
Like I'll send out like a joke or something, yeah,
you're
mock him.
You're not gonna let your guard down on social media where you have an image to protect.
Real life me gets very sensitive and emotional like all the time. Now I cried last night.
Did you really?
Yes.
When?
After when Bob Myers was crying and when when Steph cried on SVP last night, that really got me.
Oh, I didn't see Steph cry on SVP, did he?
Yeah, because he had just found out. Because I guess they didn't tell the players at all until after the game. I mean, they kind of knew. They kind of knew it was bad. I think it was what Cassidy Hubbard was telling a story that she was watching the stream of Bob Myers' press conference waiting for the players. And Steph Curry came out and asked if he could watch also. So he was watching over her shoulder.
Oh,
and
boy.
He didn't know how bad it was. And then he started crying and then went to find Myers. He said, hold on, I can't talk. Went to find Myers and hugged him, and they were crying. And then Curry went right on SVP, and Van Pelt was like, what is this emotion like? And he's just wiping tears away and like trying to, explain how they were able to play.
I missed that because there were sad moments. We'll get to the Myers thing in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll handle it delicately, believe me.
Or not.
I thought right after the game, that cut we played in the open, where Steph Curry was kind of like spacey almost. He's like, he wanted to talk about the game, but then he's like, man, I guess he didn't know the full extent, but you know it's going to be some sort of recovery. And he said, I'm feeling a lot of emotions right now. And at that point, because Doris Burke has broken down before, and I like Doe Burke. She's awesome. But I was like, no, don't break down.
Don't do it.
And she had like two more questions. I'm like, can she pull it together? Is he going to break down? Also, I will tell you, you knew it was bad. It was probably mid-third quarter, maybe beginning of fourth, when they go back to Doris Burke, and they're like, there is no official diagnosis, no official news, but they've basically told us to back off because it's a very emotional room right now
in
there. And I'm like, that ain't a strained calf.
No.
If it's an emotional room and there's loud noises coming out of there, we got trouble.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, was it?
Crying.
It sucks.
Now, I'm not mocking on you. The point I wanted to make is you love the Warriors because everyone hates them. You love the Warriors because they're the, you know, injured soldiers right now, and people want to give the Raptors credit, and you don't like fans to enjoy themselves, so you try to, you know, slice them down,
true,
right?
True.
Raptors fans like, yeah, it doesn't count. Chop, chop, chop.
It doesn't.
The amazing thing about last night was that a guy who has been just vilified and a team that is disliked by so many people, down the stretch, I was like, I don't mind if they win. Because of the KD injury, I'm like, what is happening to me? I hate this team! And when they started nailing threes, I'm like, you know what? I don't mind this. And I actually, you know, I'm a human being, so I felt kind of bad for Kevin Durant. So I'm going to throw out the line, and believe me, we have the ultimate line thrower at 5:30 today. Gizmo is going to join us. The man is the most positive, schmaltzy sports voice that we know. Nick Ismondi, right?
Yes. And I mock him very much to his face.
This is why sports, and live sports especially, are awesome. Because an entire narrative can change with an injury. And after the game, I just pointed out to you, we have a guy who's been a villain for most sports fans. Oh, you know, he's soft, he's sensitive, he took the easy path, and he joined the Ultimate Winners. That guy, America wanted to embrace and kick the living crap out of Canadians. Like, what is happening here? That's sports.
Well, in the end,
I never expected that at all. Did you, going in, because we had talked about handicapping the rest of the series, and we're like, well, I mean, someone could go down. I didn't expect him to freaking blow out his Achilles as they're playing great basketball, and he's, you know, helping to lead the way. Come on!
That was the thing. Like, when we broke down the game yesterday, it was, how many minutes is he going to play? You know, how effective is he going to be? Is he going to give him that big of a boost? If they do win and he looks good, they're all of a sudden the favorite in the series. Something that 95% of teams that go up 3-1 win the series. It's happened one time where they didn't, and that was because of suspensions and crazy things. But one time a team has come back from 3-1, and we're sitting there saying, if they look okay tonight and they win the game, they're the favorites to do something that only 5% of teams have ever been able to do. None of the breakdown involved, oh, he also might tear his Achilles and be out all of next season. That was never discussed.
Incredible. We'll get to the actual game. I know Adam was very proud of some moments down the stretch since he's a basketball Nick. We'll also break down the game with Kevin Winter, who is the pre- and post-host on ESPN Radio.
The Three is brought to you by Cofield & Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a three-hour open bar with $5 food. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
Ibaka trying to stay with Durant. Knocks it away, and Durant slipping. Durant goes down holding his leg. Ibaka goes up and is fouled down the other end. And Durant grabbing that right leg.
It's Cofield & Company.
It's the right calf that put him out. I don't like to hear the fans cheering.
I'm surprised by that, and the players are telling him not to be doing that.
Boy, Americans were ready to fight last night against Canadians. It's not all Canadians, and it was just the people in the arena who got a little amped up. We'll hit the Raptors fans' reaction in the 4 o'clock hour. But the game last night was one of the best games you're going to see in an NBA Finals. Back and forth. I mean, the drama in the middle of the game to come off the deck. And they were actually leading at that point, playing really good basketball. But to come off the deck the way Golden State did and keep humming along, you know, into the fourth quarter was amazing. Because they could have fallen apart emotionally. Because they all knew something really bad had just happened. But let's go to the end of the game. So, what was the biggest impression you got out of the end of the game? Maybe not the last play, because we'll get to that in a second. But the run by Kawhi was incredible.
I don't remember seeing anything like that.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go, hey, it's Jordan-esque, it's LeBron, but At some point, if the guy has runs like this where he carries a team against another great team, then he's going to get compared to guys like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was hitting everything. He's hitting three-pointers on bad switches, the claw. There was a great play where someone missed a bomb from deep. He just knifes right down the lane, mega hand, grabs it, lays it up. Huh. The runners, the control from like 10 to 14 feet, he was just awesome.
Well, that's what I'm getting at when I say I've never seen. Of course, people have had runs, and they've made great, had great stretches in championship games and things like that in the past, but he was doing it on both ends, and he was doing it in such a variety of ways. As you said, it started with that flying out of nowhere rebound that he just put back in the basket. He's hitting threes from everywhere. He's hitting mid-range pull-ups, and he's also making every stop defensively. It was like was it 12-2 or it was 10-0 or 12-2 at some point? 12-2, which it was like all him offensively and defensively.
Yep.
Literally playing 1-on-5 for like 3 minutes. It was incredible.
So it's 12-2. They have a 6-point lead with 3:06 left, and Nick Nurse is like, timeout, timeout, timeout. Like, what?
Yeah.
We have his explanation in the Big Five.
Right.
Basically, he said, we had some timeouts to use. Let's get a rest. Now, he's the coach. He knows his team. So if they're looking tired, were they looking tired during a 12-2 run? Were they starting to lag, after the eighth trip up and down the floor? Maybe.
Yeah.
After the game, Draymond Green told SVP that, the long timeout, it was a double timeout, gave us a chance to gather ourselves.
And I think a lot was made of that last night. I think Draymond was confused on that answer. Because the way he answered the question, he made it sound like Kerr took the timeout. And that he was crediting his coach with calming things down, and I don't know that he would have given the same answer if it would have known the other way. I'm not 100% on that, but he said, "Yeah, we needed it," and the way that he answered the question, I thought that he believed Kerr took the timeout, and he was just crediting his coach with giving them a nice breather. I don't think he was taking a direct shot at Nurse, but he was being honest in that it really was a good time to to help out and to say, hey, we have to gather our thoughts, because again, we'll get into it, but I thought that Nick Nurse saw that his team was in control, was maybe a little tired, and that Kawhi had played a lot of minutes, and he knew he had a chance to, calm down. 3 minutes left, up by six. I believe teams were 95-3 in that situation in the last 98 games. So you think you're in control, you're in a very good spot. Let's calm down. Let's get everything reset. We have the ball. Let's have a good possession and go up eight. Make this 6-point lead an 8-point lead. Instead, what happened is the Warriors were able to regain their composure, and that's the one spot that I think that with all of his logic, which I think his logic is very sound, the one thing he left out of that was how much disarray the Warriors were in at that point, and that they had survived so many runs throughout the game and had an answer every single time. And finally, I think they finally hit a wall, and we have no end. Like, KD's out. We're sad about that. We've got, we've held off. We fought off all these runs. We can't do it anymore. And I think that they were almost starting to look like they were resigned to the fact that they were going to lose. And that timeout really, and it wasn't just the timeout. It's the fact they came out of the timeout, got a stop at a three. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now we're only down three. Like, now it's different.
Who did a better job as a coaching staff in the final minute?
Well, I don't think either one should be proud of how they managed the final minute of the game. The Warriors were just a turnover machine.
Well, the illegal screen, which is generally not going to be called, but it was an illegal screen.
Yeah.
By Cousins.
When they had the backcourt violation was around the minute left mark.
That was weird.
The Warriors didn't handle their possessions very well. The Raptors certainly were a disaster.
But the final possession.
The final
for the Raptors.
Well, the first of all, the Kyle Lowry hate of missing a shot that badly, what were you guys watching? The shot was blocked. Like, I don't understand what people were watching when they're like, he couldn't even hit the front of the rim. Like, the shot got blocked. That's why it was so far off. The shot was blocked. I get what both teams were doing in that situation. Absolutely. Now, the Warriors defensively were brilliant on that play. They were absolutely unbelievable. They handled it perfectly. Even the little subtle movements on the play were fantastic and led them to be in a position to get the stop. The Raptors, I think, were trying to go without the Warriors being able to set their defense, which the Warriors already had their defense in mind, so that really didn't come into play. But they wanted to just get it. They wanted to get the ball up the court. I think they also knew they had a timeout, so that they, if they got into trouble, they could have used it. But the way the play played out, and there never really is a natural time to just say, all right, let's reset and get the timeout. So I think they wanted to save it just in case anything went wrong on the play, and they wanted to set up a play before the Warriors were able to set any kind of a defense. It just didn't work out, and the defense played better than the offense on that play, got the stop, and you know they go on to another game. But I'm sure Toronto, in retrospect, would have liked to stop the play with about 8 seconds left and say, all right, not going where we want. They got the double team on Kawhi out at the top of the key, made him give up the ball. Let's reset it here. But they didn't. They kept playing out, and they didn't get a great shot.
On the way back, we're going to find out what Kevin Winter saw. He's the pre- and post-host on ESPN Radio, and if he needs a hug, because Adam Hill indicated early in the show that he got very emotional last night and might need a hug.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company, right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Those talking heads who say we're better without him, that's just ludicrous. Like, that's crazy. This is the best player in the world. You could put him on 30th best team in the league, and that team will make the playoffs. That's how talented he is. With him, we are really one of the greatest teams to ever play. Without him, we're a really good team, but you throw Kevin Durant out there, like I said before, one of the greatest ever.
On ESPN Las Vegas. Same as it ever
was. Clay Thompson lashing out at the media, which, for the last 2 weeks, that narrative picked up a lot of steam, and I always thought it was stupid, and the players were ready to defend Kevin Durant, who went out on his shield. Kevin Winter has been doing the pre and post for the NBA Finals nationally for ESPN Radio. He joins Steve and Adam here in Vegas. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, guys? Hey, by the way, you know you get a twofer today, right? Because you know I'm from Boston.
I know. I forgot all about that. But,
I follow you on Twitter. No, I know.
we will coexist because I respect your NBA knowledge. We will coexist. I got to ask you right out of the gates. We were talking about how last night was like a mind bender, a narrative flipper. Like, so many people don't like Kevin Durant. So many people don't like GSW. My partner, who is heartless, Adam Hill, said he was crying in the postgame when Bob Meyer spoke. Was there any moment with Durant going down that you actually got really sad?
No. I'm an adult.
You wimp!
It was more of not sad, it was actually, okay, we're definitely not coming to Oakland for game six. And then they actually played well. You know, they rode the emotion for the game, and they figured out a way to survive after Nick Nurse pulled the blunder of the series so far, calling that timeout. I thought they were done. They found a way. I don't know if they can do it in to Thursday night, or if we get to a game seven. Because, guys, let's be honest, they've been outplayed this entire series. Last night, actually, they outplayed them every facet of the game, with the exception of that Kawhi Leonard stretch where he goes for 10 in a row or 10 of 12. With the exception of that, Golden State finally won a basketball game last night. Other than that, it was the 18-0 run. That was it. That was the only, and the Iguodala shot. That's all they had in the series.
So what is your expectation of what happens in game six then? Can they keep that emotion going and try to continue that?
It's a great question, and I don't know. I don't think so. I look at how Kawhi has kind of led the charge for this Raptor team of don't get too high, don't get too low. And, you know, it's who Kawhi is. I also watched the clinic they put on in game four. Now, if you want to use the reasoning or you want to throw in the excuse, whatever you want to call it, Steph played his heart out in game three, drops 47 with no help. Steph was an absolute shell of himself in game four. He looked a lot fresher with that extra day off last night. So now that we're in that stretch where you're not playing every other day, you get that extra day, maybe Steph and Clay can carry him. But I also think we've been waiting this entire series. John Barry and I have talked about in the pregame and even during the game. Who's going to be the third guy for Golden State? All right, it was Durant for 11 minutes last night, and then miraculously, I guess Boogie travels across the border, but he doesn't bring his game back stateside because he's played much better in Toronto. Draymond Green has had times where he's played well, but no one has been that third guy consistently. And I don't think Golden State can win with just Stephen Clay. And they need someone, they need an extra person or a collective three to be the third person, and they got it last night.
Kevin Winter, ESPN Radio with us. Go back to your comment about Nurse and the timeouts and the blunder. Elaborate on that.
So Kawhi Leonard's going off, and he drops 10 of 12. He hits the pull-up jumper. The Warriors come back down. Warriors miss a shot. Fred VanVleet grabs the rebound. It brings it across half court. Timeout. You're now up six. You've got all the momentum in the world. You're 2.5, 3 minutes from a title. You get a basket there, I think you bury them because the Warriors are absolutely gassed. Nick Nurse calls that timeout, and then they never had the ball go through the hoop, did the Raptors after that. The only 2 points they got, because remember, that's 103-97. The only 2 points they got after that was the goaltending call on DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I thought the mistakes in the game.
The ball never went through the hoop.
Yeah.
And I think if you score there, well, two or a three, up 103-97, and you just keep feeding Kawhi, feed that hot hand because, man, he did it in the third quarter in game – they're running together now. I think it was game three when he kind of put the pedal to the metal in game four when he went off in the third quarter. You do that and you get a basket there, I think it's over. I think the series is done. And I think Nick Nurse, for as good of a coaching job as he has done, I think he screwed up.
Along those lines, we know why, you know, he explained why he called it. What would you say to the theory of, you're right, if they score there, they bury them. How about drawing up your best play and calling a timeout and getting that done?
Well, you can do that. I'm one of those ride momentum.
Yeah.
I'm a ride momentum guy. John Barry agreed with me afterwards, so I actually kind of felt good that an NBA guy agreed with me, so that helped. But I'm a ride the momentum. I would agree with you. Let's say you're on the road. Flip them. You're on the road, do it. And maybe call the timeout. Get your best play. But they also came out, and if I'm not mistaken, Kawhi got a look. He just missed it. I mean, and actually, I may have to go back. I think Nurse said he burned back-to-back timeouts.
He did. He said
now,
that.
Yeah. So, and those are one-minute timeouts. So he burned back-to-back. So now you're looking at 2 minutes on a back-to-back timeout situation. I wasn't a fan of that. That place goes absolutely ape you know what, and they were smelling it, and then it just disappeared. I think you got to ride that. And look, the other side of the coin is, okay, you made a mistake, you've outplayed them the whole series, like I said, walk back into Oracle where you've already won three times this year, including Durant dropping 51 without Kawhi in the regular season, and you've dominated the two games in Oracle without Kevin Durant. Do it again and you're NBA champs. So it may just be, hey, I tried it. It didn't work. We're going to move on. And by the way, that's kind of been the Raptor mentality of this entire playoffs.
What do you think it's going to be like? And we're talking to Kevin Winter from ESPN Radio doing pre and post for the NBA Finals. What do you think it's going to be like at Oracle? I wonder if enough Raptor fans are going to get off the deck and buy tickets like they did last time. And could we be looking at these idiots? Well, that's a little harsh. The gentrified fans of the Bay Area who shut out the real fans, are we looking at them allowing like 3,000 or 4,000 Raptor fans in for game six?
Did you get a chance to see some of I tried to post a real quick Facebook Live video afterwards as I'm doing the postgame show because John Barry and I were stunned. Pre-game, you can see splatters of red shirts in the lower bowl, and then you know they're all kicked to the upper deck because that's where their tickets are.
Yep.
By the time that game came to an end, when you realized it was over, there were 3,000 to 4,000 people in that corner behind the Raptor bench. I asked JB, I said, you've done this for 12 years. I said, have you ever seen anything like this? I've never seen road fans travel for an NBA Finals game like they did. I think the answer is yes, and here's why. I saw in the secondary market, tickets in Toronto last night were $1,500. Game seven was potentially $1,600. Cheapest ticket to get into Oracle is $550.
Yep, it's cheap for them. We see the same exact thing, Kevin, here in Vegas. The Canadian fans in general, especially Toronto fans, coming to Vegas, the trip to Vegas and outrageous outrageously priced tickets. It's a bargain for them. So they'll travel. They travel for MMA. So GSW fans better protect their tickets. But if they want to cash in, I'm not saying it's going to be 50-50, but that's not going to be a true home court advantage in what could be the final. Well, it is, right? It's definitely the final game ever at Oracle.
And so that actually may be the other side where they don't sell them, because now if you're a Warrior fan, you're going to say, I saw the last. I think it's actually pretty cool. I remember doing this at the old Boston Garden where they shut the place down. It was an exhibition game, Bruins Canadians, and I was in college my freshman year. And I went to a Jewish, I went to Hofstra, so we had Jewish holidays off. I told my dad, I said, I want tickets for that exhibition game at the Garden, Bruins Canadians. And he got me tickets. There was nothing like being in a building when, you basically just want to, take the ratchet out of your pocket and take a seat with you.
Nice.
I think Warrior fans, that's the one saving grace that Warrior fans have for the invasion from the North to prevent it for Thursday night. Is I think the diehards, and let's face it, I'm of the belief there are more diehards in Oakland than there are in the San Francisco area. Next year, by the way, I think you could be accurate. Next year, you could see a nice, easy split. What I've been told, the wine and cheese crowd's coming to the Chase Center.
So we mentioned that we got a little beklempt, right? When Durant went down, I saw Sage Rosenfels tweeted, Kevin Durant's injury is Kevin Durant's fault. Nobody else is responsible. The end. And you retweeted it, you heartless bastard. You just said fact. What's wrong with you?
I said, here's why. Now, what I also said, Steve, on the overnight, as I'm actually waiting to board my plane to come to the West Coast, I get sick and tired of everyone coming up and trying to blame someone else. It goes beyond sports. We do this in everything. It's never your fault. It's never people don't accept blame anymore. That's where I kind of, and everyone wanted to blame someone last night. My thinking is this isn't a strain. It's a strained muscle. MRIs aren't going to show anything. He works out in front of the doctors. Doctors say, you want to know what? We didn't do good. You're looking good. How do you feel? He says, I'm good to go. Okay. Everyone agrees. You go play. It's not anyone's fault. This is sports. Injuries can happen. And he knew the risk. And I'm not blaming him. He's a competitor. By the way, if he plays the whole game, there's no question, I think, in my mind, they win a lot easier. And if they rally to win the series, he's a bleeping hero. He's like, his NBA Q level just goes through the roof. So he knew what he was doing. And again, I'm not blaming Durant. I'm a competitor. We all played sports. You want to be on the field. So it's not necessarily, I'm not trying to, I just don't want to place blame on anyone. Durant knew he knew the risk. And guess what? So now he's going to make $31.7 million from the Warriors next year rehabbing when he opts into his contract. And then he hits free agency.
We got about a minute left. Kevin Winter with us from ESPN Radio. If you listen to the pregame show, Kevin will throw out a boatload of props. You can finally do that now, huh? How much is Vegas and the offshore stuff helping the pregame show?
They allow us to do the over-under. So I've actually started getting a little creative with some of those. We like them.
It helps, right? I mean, it frames the game.
Hell yeah. Dude. You add a little gambling element to anything, it's always more fun. Livens everything up.
No doubt. Kevin, enjoy the trip to the Bay Area. I know you're there now, and we'll be listening tomorrow. Who's your pick for the game? Who's going to win game 6?
Golden State. We're going 7.
Okay. There you go. Thanks, Kevin.
We're going 7. See you, boys.
See ya. Kevin Winter, pre- and post-host ESPN Radio National. You hear him tomorrow night. Check that Thursday night. Hockey tomorrow. I forgot they have the extra day off. Thursday night, we will be off at 5 for the pregame, and the tip is at 6.
The crew over at Finley Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today.
And the handoff goes to Bush again, straight up the middle, tries to get in the end zone, does a spin move, he's still on his feet, it's taken away by the Rebels! Rebels have the football! The Rebels have the football! UNLV's going to score a touchdown! The Rebels have the football! Kevin Thomas stole the football! Touchdown, Rebels! The Rebels are going to win this game! As time expires!
The Rebels win!
The Rebels win the game!
The Rebels win the game! The Rebels win the game!
Kevin Thomas, touchdown!
Hunky Cooper in motion on a toss. He's going to cut up. Lowers his head. Still no signals out. Touchdown. That was desire.
Cofield and Company is back.
Jared in today for Chrissy. It's Steve. It's Adam. We're going to hook up with some of the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famers throughout the week. You hear a little hunky Cooper highlight there. Also going to hook up with Steve Stallworth as JT the Brick is out there live on Friday afternoon from 4 to 6. We will be at Crazy Horse 3, open bar from 3 to 6, $5 food, including tacos. Today is Taco Tuesday at Crazy Horse 3. You can check out the details at ESPN Las Vegas. A couple of tweets out there. They delivered some tacos. Adam and I went to town.
There was nearly some fights.
There were some fights. There was some controversy in the building.
When you have tacos that good, things are going to happen.
The carnitas disappeared quickly. The chicken went just as fast. The Sports Hub got about four of 30-plus tacos, and they had to deal with it. That's the way it works.
Well, they're delicious. They're
not too far. We're important. Not really.
Usually we defer to everyone.
Go to the other side of the building. They're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, but usually we defer to everybody. And like when food is brought here, even if it's brought specifically to us,
yes,
we just allow everyone else in the building to just go at it. Yesterday, with those tacos,
no,
not the case.
Not going to happen. So today and every Tuesday starting at noon at Crazy Horse 3, free admission for locals. You got happy hour until 8. And today is Taco Tuesday with Dollar Tacos. And then Friday we're out there with the live show. Open bar for 3 freaking hours and a ton of prizes, including getting ready for Father's Day weekend, a trio of $75 Visa gift cards that we're giving away. We'll give away one each hour to our listeners, so you can don't keep them for yourself. Give it to your father. Be a good son or daughter.
Oh. That's disappointing.
Oh, you were just going to pill for one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Father's Day.
Well, you're in a weird zone right now. Are you going to be able to... You know, toughen up for Father's Day? You're usually steely-nerved when it comes to these holidays. You really don't play into them. But after the way we opened today and you mentioning that you started crying watching the postgame, I'm a little worried.
Well, Kevin Durant's not my dad. I'll be okay. That would be very emotional.
Well, Bob Myers is the guy who got you, right?
No, it was about Kevin Durant. And I feel bad for Bob Myers in the position that he's in. But there's also some question. It was more Steph Curry. Bob Myers, I do have some questions on his motivation.
All right, well, let's listen to what he said after the game. This is the GM of the Warriors. He comes in. He doesn't have official news in terms of the severity of the Achilles injury. He just knows it's an Achilles injury. And, man, he has a lot of trouble holding it together.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. I don't believe there's anybody to blame.
Okay. See, that was the part of the press conference with Myers where some people were like, listen, we know he's really emotional, and I'm not going to sit here and rip him. He just watched one of his star players go down. These guys all have relationships. I'm sure Durant was really upset knowing if it is a rupture of the Achilles. That was a rough scene to be around, so for him to be emotional is not shocking, but I don't know. Did he do the right thing by immediately addressing the elephant in the room? Because that's what we do now as sports viewers and sports analysts and sports fans. Like, right away, it just can't be an injury. It's like, someone blew this! Durant got screwed! And Bob Myers immediately went into fix-it mode.
Well, I mean, he did have a couple hours, so it wasn't like it just happened. He had time to think about it a little bit before he went out there, and you know, he went out there and talked about it. I'm sure he knew it was going to be a question, so why not address it, try to get in front of it? But I think you also open yourself up to, it's clearly going to be on you. Like, it's your medical staff, it's your player, it's your trainers, it's your coaches that decide to do this. You're in charge here. This is on you. So I know that, you know, injuries all the time are not, you know, you can't forecast an injury necessarily. But going back, I did see some blogs and some podcasts that had like medical experts on that were like, yeah, there is that possibility of this happening. if you do this. Now, at the time, you look at that as alarmist and, hey, it's worst case scenario, everything else. But then when it does happen, it's clearly going to come back on the team. And it's like, it's not like there was nothing there and he got hurt. In that case, you know, if Steph Curry gets hurt, he was playing, he was healthy, he's fine. What are you going to do, not play anyone? But Durant was in a situation where there was questions. They put him out there. They put him out there most likely because they were in a desperate situation. And whether it was 100% his decision or the team consulting with him and telling him he's okay, even if he's not, like, it's going to come back on him. So you understand why he's emotional, first of all, because this is a guy's career that he's somewhat responsible for and that he just put a huge, you know, damage to. And it's also, it's going to come down on him. And he knows that he's going to have to be recruiting players in about 2 weeks. You might want to come across as, you know, having concern for the guy.
More Bob Myers, very emotional after the game. He's the GM of the Warriors, trying to spit it out as he talks about Kevin Durant's devastating injury.
But I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department, and let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong.
Okay. When were you crying?
No, it was more Steph.
It was more Steph, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I was not like, Bob Myers didn't get to me. Like, Bob Myers, I think, is, like I said, I think he's playing. I think this is an act. But
really? Steph, you don't think that was genuine?
I think he has genuine emotion, but I think he's playing it up more for the camera. Hmm. It was more Steph, because Steph's not in a position where he's going to take the blame. He's not in a position where he has to represent the best face necessarily. Like, yeah, it would come down on him if he just came out and said, I don't care. But, I mean, Steph seemed like very genuine. And this, there's part of this that I think is genuine, too. But I think a lot of this is more, he knows that he's going to have to answer these questions. He knows that this is going to be out there. Would it be insane for, you know, the owners, well, the CEOs, to fire
How
him?
How dare you slip?
To fire him?
Old habits die hard.
I don't think it's not a fireable offense.
Really, you're laying this at his doorstep.
Depending on what happened, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion. But if the doctors were in a position to, were they told to try to clear him? Were they told to look for, you know, some way to get him back out on the court and maybe undersell the injury to Kevin Durant as part of filling him in on the? I don't know. Like, nobody knows any of those things yet. So at some point, a lot of that stuff's going to start to come out. But I don't think it would be crazy to think somebody's job should be at least in question for this situation.
364-1100, 364-1100. I want to see if we've got some fans out there thinking, like Adam Hill and many others, that there's something sinister going on behind the scenes, that Kevin Durant was forced to play or at least guilted into playing, and someone needs to be fired. Someone's head or heads need to roll. Is it the GM? Is it the doctors? Are you mad about the Kevin Durant injury? We just had a guy on from ESPN Radio who was like, there's no one to blame. Don't get mad. It happened. Kevin Durant made the choice. He got injured. 364-1100, 364-1100. On the Myers thing, I saw a radio dude out of D.C. He said, so glad I stayed up to watch Bob Myers. I can't say I've ever seen an executive have a press conference quite like that. From the tears to the humanity to the accountability, it's why he's as good as any exec in sports. His values guide what he does on display right there. What's wrong?
It's just more the... I don't know.
He's a great guy.
He very well might be.
A lot of people, and you know, I'll tell you who's leading the rush to call Bob Myers and the doctors on the carpet are former athletes. Many of them are like, this is why you don't trust team doctors. This is why you don't always believe that the team has your best interest in mind. Yep. There are a lot of mad people around this now. Lots.
And there's also, I mean, it's reading a lot into it, but that's all you can really do it at this point because we don't know yet. But Steve Kerr wouldn't really answer the question. And he said, you know, we'll just let Bob talk about that. Of was Durant ready? Did you guys rush him back? And Steve Kerr was like, yeah, we'll let Bob address that. Which if you're reading into it, and I know a lot of people did last night, would lead you to believe that Steve Kerr was like, I don't think you should play. And Bob Myers is like, he's playing. And so did that happen? Again, we don't know. This is all speculation because right now that's really all you can do with it. But is that possible? The way that Kerr answered the question would lead you to believe it's possible.
Lance is up on Cofield and Company. Hey, Lance.
How's it going, Steve?
Good, man. Say hi to Adam.
What's up, man?
Well, I have to disagree with Adam. I don't know what Adam's even thinking. It's sort of a Durant's decision to play or not. And as an athlete, he makes that call with his own body. So what Adam's actually saying is, I haven't really figured out what Adam says. Because Adam's sort of out there when it comes to conspiracy theories.
True. What I said is, what would it change your mind if it came out that the doctors were told to say, hey, you're fine, there's no real risk of further injury, because they wanted him to play, and that he was misinformed on what the options were before he took the court?
Come on, Adam. You don't think Durant knows his own body?
Not as well as doctors know the risk of further injury.
Oh, get real. That's an asinine statement. He knows his body. He would have known if he was at risk. He's taken that himself. What you're trying to do is make a conspiracy theory out of it that doctors are always smart. They're called general practitioners for a reason. It's because they're practicing to be doctors.
Wait, I don't think the Warriors team physicians are practicing to be doctors. I think they're like the best in their field.
Well, I think that's always been a question.
That's true.
Oftentimes they are not the best in their field, and too often favors are done to get into organizations. And I'll actually back Adam on the whole doctor thing, because I think Adam's the same way I am, and I hope KD's a lot more advanced than we are. I'm not a doctor person.